Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Adam Sterling with you once again on CFAX 1070. This is Monday, December 13th of the year 2021. Lots to talk about on the show today, as always, including, I can't thank all of you enough. You saved the day on Friday. Yes, you, every single one of you who gave even the smallest donation to CFAX Santa's Anonymous played an equal part in a groundswell, a grassroots, I don't even know what to call it, but you, all of you, are absolutely amazing. I want to take you back in time because I was open with you. I was honest with you. I was a little worried as of Wednesday last week. We had been chatting with the good folks at Santa's Anonymous, including Executive Director Christine Hewitt, and they were blunt. They said, Adam, we are seeing a need that is greater than we've ever seen before. We had people signing up and completely exhausting our capacity to even promise them we would help. That's not we have money in the bank and this is a sure thing. This is, all right, we're pretty sure we can raise donations to cover all of this. We exceeded that capacity far faster than some would have expected. And the donations were down compared to how they had been in years previous. So I started Wednesday's show by doing something that I don't do very often. I said, here's the situation. We need help. Here's what it sounded like.
Me.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Adam Sterling.
I know, it's like Inception around here. Just listen.
Sterling with you once again on CFAX 1070. This is Wednesday, December 8th of the year 2021, 2 days before our Miracle on Broad Street Radiothon. We're going to get to our normal opening segment of the program coming up in just a few moments. But first, I need to ask a favor. I don't do that very often on these airwaves. I'm always looking at ways that we can better serve the community, ways that we can help people. Well, today is a day, and this week is a week where we can't do anything without your help, you, the CFAX 1070 audience. This Friday, we're going to be taking a leap of faith. We're going to be throwing open the phone lines and holding our radiothon as we do each and every year. And it is, in many ways, an act of faith. We're going to be jumping and we're going to be hoping that all of you are there to catch us, because there are families that are counting on us. And they really were counting on us. This was a little bit later on in that conversation. So you have the power to save somebody else's Christmas. You have the power to ward off that cruel and uncaring world of circumstance out there for families right here in your own community. You have the power to make that choice. And I'm really, really hoping that you'll be there for all of us. And Christine Hewitt was on right off the top on Wednesday, underlying how serious this was.
When we set out to open our application process this year, we did that on October 4th. And we had met our capacity because there's only so much room that you can deliver such a program.
Yeah.
And that happened before Halloween. But unfortunately, the donors aren't moving quite as fast as we are, and we really need their help.
So here's what it sounded like on December 8th. I said, look, you get to choose what happens here. I don't get to choose. The charity doesn't get to choose. Christine Hewitt doesn't get to choose. None of us can control this except all of you collectively. You can save those families. Well, government is part of the solution, but it's not the whole thing. It can't be the whole thing. We can save them. You, me, everybody in this community, we can help each other. We can save each other. We did it once before. We did it with COVID. We can do it again with this, helping make sure that there are no families here in the Victoria area, no children that go through the Christmas season with nothing under the tree, that go hungry on Christmas Day because there's not enough money for food. You can stop that. I can stop that. And with your help, we will stop that. Government, wouldn't it be nice if they could solve all of our problems? But you know what? We don't have the luxury of time to wait around for government to solve these difficult problems. You and me, we can do this together. After I said that, had this sinking feeling. Oh no, what if we're wrong? What if we don't make it? What if we admit vulnerability, we take this leap, and we fall? Folks, that was never going to happen. I had that moment of doubt, but in time, you all came through. And I mean all of you came through.
So on top of that, I also just want to challenge everybody. We do this every year.
Yeah.
You know, so this year, Thrifty Foods is going to donate $10,000 again.
$10,000 early in the morning on Friday from our good friends at Thrifty Foods. The Campbell family was up with Al shortly after that.
I can't say enough good things about the Campbell family.
You know why?
I'm going to donate $200,000.
$200,000?
Donate $200,000 this year for food for children and families that need food.
That's Bonnie Campbell.
Yeah, Mom feels...
Joe Campbell.
And my dad in past had always felt very strongly about helping the community, and Santa's Anonymous has gone a long way to making families have a better Christmas when they've, you know, not had the best of times. And I know I've been listening to your show the last few days, and it seems like with COVID and all of the stuff that's been going around the world, the need has escalated. So that's why Mom chose this year to increase the amount.
They were listening. They wrote a check for $200,000.
To recognize your need for additional donors and just to get more people, get more help. And hopefully people in the community will hear that.
And they did. People came out of the woodwork. We chatted with Mel Cooper.
How are you?
I've got to get used to being called amazing.
Gordy Dodd.
Parents taught me now that giving gives you the internal happiness. Blessing comes from the other people, from the needy people, and the other. They're giving more energy and everyone around you.
Those are wise words. Giving does bring internal happiness. Christine Hewitt was on with me and Ryan Price as we got things rolling on 9 a.m. And Christine Hewitt threw down the gauntlet. She says, nope, we're going to do a number. This is our goal. We either succeed or we don't.
To try and reach a goal this year, and at least the goal that we had last year.
And last year we shattered all the records. It was one of these shocking, how is this even possible? Are we sure we didn't double count something? We raised...
which was $691,000.
So we're going to take our year where we're having some problems, and we're going to say today we're going to set a goal for ourselves, and that goal is going to be to beat our best year ever where everything went our way and we were luckier than we'd ever been.
So I'm going to call on the community today many times throughout the day to please give whatever you have, whatever you can, like Dorothy did.
All right, there we go. The gauntlet is thrown down, $691,000, our current total.
In my mind, actually, in my mind, I didn't feel any nerves at all at that point. In my mind, I was sure. And I said that, actually, 10:39 a.m.
But you know what? We're going to get it done. I've got a good feeling.
I do. I have got a good feeling. Everybody is going to pull together. And you know what? People were teasing me at that point, but sure enough, the totals kept rising.
$307,554.62.
That was 11:06 a.m. By the time we got to 11:59,
$344,747.62.
By the time we got to 12:33 p.m. into the noon hour,
We're at the point where we can barely talk now. More than $371,000. Like, this has just come in.
370 into the 2 o'clock hour.
But we're here helping with miracles.
Oh, this was fun. From 107.3 FM Virgin Radio Victoria, Chris Palliser and Bailey Parker were in, and they mentioned me, and I laughed. I want you to know I heard that, and I thought it was funny.
Well, on Broad Street.
That's right. Yeah, I've been looking forward to getting on CFAX here. I'm looking for a hot political debate with Adam Sterling.
Everybody is, buddy. Everybody is. Thank you so much, though, for helping to be part of the miracle. 3:51 p.m.
That brings us to $545,766.
Coming up, picking up speed, 5:07 p.m.
You can remain anonymous.
Yeah.
We had, just moments ago, an anonymous donor, somebody who believes in CFAX Santa's Anonymous, to basically say that they want to donate, you ready? $25,000.
What?
To CFAX.
Listen to Ryan.
$1,000.
What?
To CFAX Santa's Anonymous.
Amazing.
An anonymous donor.
That was
just $25,000 from a good-natured person, a hero, who swooped in and helped save the day with all of you on Friday. 5:15 p.m.
The Miracle on Broad Street.
That's David Foster.
Radiothon is an annual fundraising event for one of my favorite radio stations in the world, CFAX Santa's Anonymous, to help Victoria children get presents they need for Christmas.
And this year, more families than ever have reached out for help, and the stories we're hearing are heartbreaking, from losing a job to cancer diagnosis to dealing with COVID-19.
So we need to help our neighbors more than ever through CFAX Santa's Anonymous. 4,900 people are needing help. So let's get to it. Make those donations. And in honor of that, I'd like to do a...
You get to it.
I will get to it.
Bow out of the way.
Okay.
Hit it, Dave.
Okay.
And then he played a song. David, the one and only David Foster played a song as part of the telethon. 5:36 p.m.
Our current total for the Miracle on Broad Street Radiothon. Are you ready?
I'm not, but I still want to hear it.
713.
We surpassed it right there.
$13,973.83.
Oh my gosh. Can you believe that?
There was still 24 minutes left before 6 p.m. and we'd already broken the all-time record that shattered the previous record.
Our final total. You ready?
Here's how we ended the evening.
You ready?
I'm ready.
$775,652.83. That's it.
$775,000. We threw down the gauntlet, 9 a.m.
To try and reach a goal this year, and at least the goal that we had last year, which was $691,000. So
I never doubted you for a second, is what I want to say. And there may have been some doubts here and there. But you know what? I felt completely confident when I said I had faith in all of you. I love days like Friday. You know why? Because every day, people from across this city, we get together and we have conversations on the radio. We listen to the latest news and opinion and information that's happening. But we don't always get to see each other. It's not like sitting in a big stadium when you look around you and you see the thousands or perhaps tens of thousands of people who are all taking part in the same activity that you are. You don't always get to look to your left and look to your right and realize that you are part of something that is very special and something that is absolutely enormous in its influence and its ability to do good in this community. On days like Friday, you get to see each other. You get to say, wow, I was part of a group of people, and in one day, we all opened our wallets and we gave what we could. Some of us, much more successful and fortunate than others. Some of us actually needed a hand up this year, but we'll help next year, and we help before. That's how it works. Sometimes we give a little, sometimes we need a little, and that's just the way society works. You got to be part of a group that not only shattered the all-time record last year, but you did it again this year while donations were down and the need was greater than ever. $775,000 in one day. That is how big you are. That is how influential you are. That is how important what you are part of actually is. You get to help save the day with Christmas. You jointly, of course, collectively, but that's the whole point of us coming together as a community, putting aside differences and petty squabbles and political fighting. And, you know, we love those sometimes. That's part of society as well. But when we all put aside our differences and we all come together and we all pull in the same direction, Friday was proof. You and me, my friends, we can do amazing things. And on Friday, we did. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Because you were the ones that did that. We took the jump. I didn't know what was going to happen if we didn't make it. I'd deal with it after. But we'll never have to know now. Because when the chips were down, when things were bleak, and we looked and said, I don't know how we're going to do this, you came swooping in and you saved the day. And I will never forget that. Quick break.
This is Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Good morning, Adam. A texter wrote to me a short time before we started the program a few moments ago. Texter writes, I wanted to congratulate everyone in the CFAX team, CFAX Santas, and Christine Hewitt for their amazing work throughout the year to help out families in need. Continuing to shatter records, the texter Kent writes to me, with Miracle on Broad Street is so uplifting, especially during these recent years where people are really struggling to make ends meet. My business and myself, Kent writes, have been donating every year since I moved to the island, and unfortunately I missed out on Friday as I was on the mainland bedside with my grandmother who was quite sick. I was wondering the best way to make my donation today. Kent asks me, thank you for everything you do. You are a pillar in this community, which without we would crumble. Merry Christmas, Kent. The Santa's crew, the volunteers, the team that works there, the Santa's Anonymous board, Ryan Price, Lisa Best also, who was on co-hosting with me, they're involved in a lot more of the operations. Collectively, I believe they absolutely are a pillar
and I feel privileged. I actually feel like I get imposter syndrome when I start talking about that, because there are so many people who do so much work behind the scenes and make such a difference. And the generosity of the donors, it's amazing to be around just this. It's a community, and it's the best part of us. It's like lightning in a bottle. You couldn't manufacture it or recreate it on a whim. It's something that came together because the need was there in the community, and just this unspoken expectation that we here in this community, we don't abandon those who are down on their luck. We do not cast aside those who are in a time of need, especially at Christmas. This community has a huge heart. This community is a kind community and a charitable community. Now, we may disagree on the specific policy positions through which we should support folks who are down on their luck. But days like Friday, we come together and we show how big our hearts are. It's completely discretionary, and that's what makes it more amazing than ever, in my view. So thank you, Ken. You can vote, or excuse me, not vote, Freudian slip. You can still donate to Santa's. You can actually donate year-round, and they have year-round programs. For example, one of the programs we talked about during Friday's Radiothon is that when the federal funds to supply food and other supports to folks here in the Victoria area started to dry up around March in the Burnside Gorge community, and we know that Burnside Gorge, they've had a lot of issues there. They've had issues with just folks losing their jobs, not having enough money to go around. They've also had issues with crime and disorder. So they get it from both sides. We had callers actually calling in from Burnside Gorge earlier in the pandemic, and some of them were desperate. They were at their wits' end. You remember that? You know what Santa's did with Burnside? And I didn't even know this at the time. I found this out last week. I had no idea this had been happening for a lot of this year. Earlier this year, when Santa's found out that the federal money was starting to dry up in terms of some of the food supports that were being offered, Santa's came in and they wrote him a $25,000 check for the Burnside Gorge Community Association. They created a hamper system that helped out, I believe it was 100 families, with fresh produce and other healthy food to make sure those families were getting the nutrition and the supports that they need to get through. And I didn't actually know this was happening at the time. But this is the sort of work that Santa's Anonymous is always doing behind the scene year-round. Apparently, when June rolled around, there was another need. So you know what Santa's did? Again, they wrote another check, this time to establish a set of community barbecues so that families could show up, have a little bit of fun, let their kids play with other kids, and let just for a moment those worries and the weight of the world be forgotten and just enjoy a nice community picnic. If you are a Santa's Anonymous donor, you are the person who allowed that to happen, and you might not have even known it was happening at the time. It's making the world a better place on cruise control when you give to Santa's Anonymous. You can give today at cfaxsantas.com, by the way. You can give year-round. They have an organization. It's called Canada Helps, and that's the organization that they engage with to process incoming funds. And you get your tax receipt right like on the website. It'll print it out for you. It'll email it for you. It's ready to go. And Santa's is always looking for ways that they can help. There was another one that Christine was talking about on Friday, and it was apparently some younger people, they needed, I guess, dental surgery, and they didn't have the sort of money available because, of course, we don't have our mouths covered to the same degree with government-supplied health care as we do other parts of our bodies. So apparently Santa's was there for a few young people suffering with that as well. It's no matter what the need is covered as best it can be by Santa's, this extraordinary charity that does good work here in the Victoria area. And the more support it has, the more it can do. So you don't have to just give it Christmas. I love everybody who gave to Santa's Anonymous in a platonic, appreciative, community-minded way. Absolutely. I love every single person who gave to Santa's Anonymous and helped with this. You don't have to just do it at Christmas, though. You can do it anytime at cfaxsantas.com. Good morning, Adam. A texter writes, I want to say thank you, a texter writes, along with all the generous people that donated. I, texter writes, am a father that is receiving a hamper for my family. I listened all day Friday, and it brought many tears. Look at me. I'm actually getting emotional here. Doesn't normally happen. Actually, who am I kidding? It happens all the time. Texter, everything's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. And this community has your back just the same way you have your family's back. And I'm glad that the work that Santa's has done, and I'm glad that the donors and their generosity is able to help get your family through this. I'm sorry that all of this is happening to you just the same way. I'm sorry that all these unfortunate circumstances are happening all over. COVID's been tough, tougher than we deserve. But things that happen to us that are tougher than we deserve are sometimes things that we can't do much about. COVID, can't do much about that. Well, I guess, you know, we have to some degree, but it's not making an end anytime sooner. But with this, this was something we could fix. So I'm glad that it helped. And thank you for being part of this. And hopefully the opportunity arises in future for you to give back just the same way you were helped out once upon a time. It makes me smile. All right, folks, we are going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to savagely criticize Victoria City Council for wasting our time again, because I can't spend all day in emotional mode. We need a palate cleanser. Oh, and boy, do I have some sound clips for you coming up.
Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
All right, with our coffers recharged and confident that we will be able to help thousands of families have a better, more secure Merry Christmas, for which you have my eternal thanks. Let's get back to work, shall we? Victoria Council decided the fate of the Telus Ocean Building downtown on Thursday. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry, I retract that. No, they didn't. They ran out of time, as they often do. There will be a special meeting that is being held. I believe it's this Thursday where we will see, I guess, further debate on that. But ideally, there was supposed to be a break. There was supposed to be the ability for, you know, staff to go away, maybe work on some issues as council would not meet throughout the Christmas holiday. And then they could all come back in January. I believe it was January 6th or 7th, I believe, was supposed to be the first time they were back. So they met on Thursday and they talked about budget consultations. Now, this was important. Remember the budget survey that was used as partial justification for an attempt to defund the salary line item of the Victoria Police Department on the 18th day of January last year? I'm sure many of you recall that. It was rather controversial, but they talked about the imperfect nature of democracy, and they talked about the legitimacy, or at least questions were raised as to the legitimacy of the by-election, which had happened a month before that when Stephen Andrew won a crushing 2-1 margin over the current Together Victoria candidate that won their nomination process. Together Victoria, of course, being a political party, somebody's going to win the nomination process, so that person, it was their turn to run for the next open seat, and they got defeated 2-1. Huge. Now, I'm not suggesting that there was anything wrong with that particular candidate. I think the issue was, well, the conduct of existing Together Victoria councillors at the council table, Sarah Potts, Shermarky Dubo, the two examples, as well as the changing relative needs of the community. You know, you can have a lot of things that matter to you, but when your house is on fire, the only thing that matters is putting out the fire in that moment. That doesn't mean you don't care about all those other priorities. That means that you're in an emergency where things need to be addressed now. Public safety, clearly, I would say, deciding that election. Ben Isett on January 18th brought up the point that democracy is imperfect.
I would like to offer some thoughts as well on the representativeness of surveys and even the representativeness of general elections. And I guess just making the point that for good or for bad, democracy is decided by those who show up. And certain individuals showed up in the recent survey. Certain individuals showed up in the by-election last month. Certain individuals showed up in the general election. And our democracy is imperfect. Improving it, I think, involves increasing participation.
Okay, so when we increase participation, that's improving it. This is going to matter in a few minutes.
Increasing participation as close to possible to full participation. And I would be open to having a discussion about how can we move in the direction of Australia. Do we want to lobby the province for mandatory voting?
Because more is better, always, right?
Be an unreasonable infringement on civil liberties. But how do we get from the current 40%, which is essentially the upper ceiling that we've ever seen in recent decades, to something closer to 100%?
Ladies and gentlemen, I have fantastic news for you. As Bill Eisenhower, head of engagement for the city of Victoria, advised Isett and other assembled members of council last Thursday, that's December 9th, the survey participation rate went up. Although it didn't give them the results that they wanted, at least you wouldn't think it would.
And the community was invited to provide feedback and input on the draft.
This is 1 year later.
Budget, as well as the 49 supplementary budget items under consideration by council. to further community priorities. And a comprehensive, multifaceted engagement plan included outreach to Victoria residents and business operators with targeted communications to reach underrepresented groups.
So in other words, they specially spent resources to make sure that underrepresented groups would be more aware of this survey than others would, all else equal.
Including youth, renters, diverse community groups, and newcomers.
So did that skew the survey in the favor of those groups?
A total of 135 written submissions were received, and that is included as one of the attachments, and those were from individuals and business groups. We had a little over 1,059 individuals participate in the and complete the city's online budget survey. That was a 49% increase.
Wow, a 49% increase!
Survey, that was a 49% increase over the number of participants in the survey from last year.
Wow, so it sounds like this survey will be a lot more democratic than it was the year before.
Okay.
Oh, no, never mind. That's not something I want to play yet. That's something that will be coming up. I want you to stay tuned for that here on CFAX 1070. Also,
we had a few fewer youth participating in the survey this year.
So they had fewer youth this year.
Last year, they were overrepresented with about 16% of survey respondents. This year, they came in at 8. The census data in that age category is about 11%, so still fairly representative.
Wow, so the survey that was used as partial justification for a failed attempt, one vote, Stephen Andrew made the difference, to try to defund $747,000 from the VicPD budget last January 18th. The survey results were skewed. Huh, that's interesting. I don't remember it being described as that way at that point, but anyway.
Interesting to note as well that this year we had just about the same number of renters.
Oh, so the same number. Well, that's good. We maintained it year over year.
Take the survey as last year, but their percentage share declined, I think, because we saw more homeowners taking the survey this year than last.
An increase in democracy, closer to that 100% participation, still not even close, but closer than it was last year by comparison.
You know, the reason we ask this of survey respondents is because we have, as I noted, 49 supplemental items under consideration. And we do have, and in your report is a ranking of how people felt about those individual supplemental items, whether they thought they strongly agreed or didn't, that they should be included. You know, that's a lot of data to go through. So showing you how folks think about the strategic objectives as well as these essential priorities, the hope is that may help you when you're kind of making decisions and trade-offs as to what should be funded or not funded within some of those supplemental items and in areas of the core budget. So here in terms of essential priorities, you'll see, and we've shown the data for this year and last year, that when assessing essential priorities,
what's the most important one?
You'll see some of the same alignment with council's strategic priorities. We use slightly different language here just because sometimes if we express things in different words, people have a different view. But overall, you will see that respondents say they want a community that is safe.
Oh, wow. Overall, they want to see a community that is safe. And this is the special survey that was targeted at underrepresented groups, targeted at youth,
that has the infrastructure it needs for the future.
Infrastructure, very important.
They want to see a city that takes bold action to tackle climate change while supporting local businesses and the economy. They also want a community that is healthy, equitable, and inclusive, and supports its most vulnerable.
And it is true in terms of priority, but there were changes on those last couple of points, year over year.
The next area of the survey, we talked about value for tax dollars.
This is interesting.
You'll see that 45% of respondents say that they receive very good or fairly good value for their tax dollars.
55% don't.
This year. And I have a chart that breaks this out based on renters and homeowners. You'll see that, again, fairly close, but renters believe they are receiving slightly more value for their tax dollars than do homeowners. And we also have a chart here that compares from 2019 to 2022, and you can see the trends there across the years.
without saying what those trends actually are. He knows that these clips will end up on this show. Ben Isaac comes along and starts asking questions.
Thing items as an essential priority. So a year ago, 58% of respondents thought that support for vulnerable populations was essential.
Ben Isett founded, along with others, of course, a nonprofit society called the Red Cedar Cafe Society that operated an organization known as Red Cedar Cafe that offered provisions of supports, food, as well as outreach services and wellness checks to some degree to the unsheltered persons who were staying in Beacon Hill Park, as well as other parks in the 24/7 camping system that he used his vote at the council table to sustain and to advocate for any number of times, while the organization that he founded was at the height of its success, getting more than $50,000 a month from the government of Canada to provide those services. I have maintained that should have been some sort of a conflict. He should have recused himself from the votes around 24/7 camping and the enforcement of the parks regulation bylaw. If he had, though, perhaps the votes would have gone the other way, and perhaps the system would have never existed, so I guess we'll never know, but that's what that is.
In this survey, that's dropped to 32%.
Wow! I'd hate to be in charge of a profile that goes from 58 down to 32 in 1 year. What could have possibly happened?
So from that, do you think we could conclude that supporting the vulnerable is less of a priority?
Again, he founded the organization that did a large part of it. He's too close to it. I don't think he should be using his position at the council table to even ask questions about this, but he is. So I guess disclosure is how we deal with it.
Today, or it's just less of a priority for the 1,054 respondents?
You know, some of those numbers, the big shifts really did make me take time to think, how did they shift so much in such a short...
Yeah, how did they shift?
Period of time.
Maybe it's because things have been really bad for the last year and a half, and City Hall wants you to disbelieve me, disbelieve the organizations that signed the letter about the public safety crisis. They want you to disbelieve the City of Victoria Police Department that warned people. They want you to disbelieve the Attorney General, who said that there's a significant number of unsheltered persons who are staying in the parks who would otherwise be in jail. David Eby told us that. They want you to disbelieve every single source of information that they say is not credible. That's their stupid partisan attack that they use against me, by the way. Just disgusting, immoral people. And you know them when they reveal themselves with slimy attacks like that. I don't even really care that much, because their reputations are the ones that are harmed when they tell you not to believe what you see with your own eyes out your window. But yes, what could possibly be behind this shift in public understanding?
Some of it could be related to those who filled out the survey. But at the same time, I think too, when people are assessing priorities and also ranking, it's important.
I want to give Eisenhower full credit here, because he knows exactly what Isett wants to hear, and he's not going to give Isett exactly what he wants in terms of that information. Bill Eisenhower, if you're out there listening, you get a thumbs up from me today, because I think we both know, in terms of the truth out there in this city, that what is in this survey does reflect closer to actual public sentiment than what we saw last year. At least I think so.
Important to note that the difference between some of the values, they're not super large.
And that's true.
So, you know, it's not that people are saying that it's not a priority. It's just when they're trying to make a determination and stack it up against the others.
In other words, if your house is on fire, yeah, you care about all those other things out there in your community. But in that moment, as you feel the heat scorching your skin, you have one priority only, and that's survival. That's safety.
They give it a lower ranking, but...
Anyway, it goes on.
Points, particularly like climate change, reconciliation, you're seeing quite wide swings. Also, value for tax dollars has shifted. Now, it's gone back kind of to where it may have been a couple of years ago. It's similar. So I
would suggest that it was last year's survey that was the anomaly.
I can't say, and we don't know just from this one survey what, you know, all that's going on, but... There has been change there, and it is amongst those who completed the survey, and that's why it's important to take the survey in addition to the town hall, in addition to the correspondence that you've received on the budget, plus our experience through the year and hearing about all kinds of other things when you're deliberating, you know, on this.
See, you know, you can read between the lines, and it's like, yeah, we're in a giant crisis right now. People are concerned about safety. I draw from that, at least from that tome. Ben Isett has an alternate theory that he puts to Mr. Eisenhower. He talks about the public safety lobby. Remember the automotive lobby? It's back with a newer, shadowier form. Here, one of your elected representatives force an adult grown-up to listen to his theory in public right after this.
It's Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Oh, all of us remember a year ago when the by-election was illegitimate, and instead we should listen to this survey to defund Vic PD.
And certain individuals showed up in the recent survey. Certain individuals showed up in the by-election last month. Certain individuals showed up in the general election.
Now, nearly a full year later, we can't trust surveys either because they don't give us the results that we feel is true, a reflection of the will of the people.
Have a different view, but overall, you will see that respondents say they want a community that is safe, that has the infrastructure it needs for the future.
Something must be wrong here. How is this possible?
58% of respondents thought that support for vulnerable populations was essential. In this survey, that's dropped to 32%.
Wow, it looks like surveys are also determined by who shows up, just like by-elections are.
You're seeing quite wide swings. Also, value for tax dollars has shifted. Now, it's gone back kind of to where it may have been a couple of years ago. It's similar. So I can't say, and we don't know just from this one survey what, you know, all that's going on, but there has been change there, and it is amongst those who completed the survey, and that's why it's important to take the survey in addition to the town hall, in addition to the correspondence that you've received on the budget, plus our experience through the year and hearing about all kinds of other things when you're deliberating, you know, on this.
So is it possible that Vic PD has been lying to you, that I've been lying to you, that organizations that signed the letter calling the public safety crisis a matter that needs to be attended to, are they lying to you? Do the people who file all of these reports about being chased, about being threatened, about being coerced, that businesses who have employees, that person who got stabbed, you know, a week and a half ago, is that person lying to you? Or is it that just things are bad right now? They're getting worse. Policy is at least partially coinciding with this degradation in public safety. Oh, Stats Canada, they'd have to be lying to you as well. Crime severity index jumped from 148 to 168 in Victoria in just 1 year. Violent crime severity index, according to Stats Canada, jumped 45% pre-pandemic into the pandemic in just 1 year. Of course, survey results would reflect that, but that conflicts with the whole together Victoria narrative that it's okay to defund the police, that crime is going down, they aren't needed, and we'd be better off in spending money on social supports, which I'm sure it's just a coincidence would include monies that go to one or more organizations founded by one or more members of that council. What if it's all a conspiracy? You hear the gears turning in one of their heads.
Basically, when organized stakeholder groups mobilize.
Organized stakeholder groups, like Ben's mailing list that he used to send the survey out to his contacts. I had some folks forwarding it to me, telling me that was happening. I'm sure that's fine. You know, people are allowed to have private collections of personal information and mailing lists that they use for their own political advocacy. I'm sure that's being maintained in accordance with all rules and expectations.
In relation to these engagement exercises, and should there be a correction factor? Is
it? Oh, now the survey needs a correction factor.
Just something council takes into consideration.
Here it comes.
So, for example, there's a public safety lobby.
There's a public safety lobby.
So, for example, there's a public safety lobby.
And they're putting things in my water. No, I'm just kidding. That last part wasn't what he said.
That's underway. It involves Victoria City Police Union.
Oh, the police union.
A number of members of the media.
Oh, I wonder who he's talking about.
And clearly that's had an impact.
Clearly that's had an impact on the survey, folks. There's a conspiracy and they're out to get us again.
In this survey? And is that just a factor for council to consider in determining how much weight to put on the responses? Or I wasn't aware of any other organized interest groups.
Wait till you hear the response that he gets. It is just magic. But I want to play this again, just for the record. This is your member of Victoria Council at the council table openly talking about some sort of a shadowy conspiracy that is a public safety lobby. Like, where does the money come from for public safety lobby? That's a government expenditure.
So, for example, there's a public safety lobby that's underway. It involves Victoria City Police Union, a number of members of the media, and Clearly that's had an impact in this survey.
And they're rearranging my socks while I'm sleeping.
And is that just a factor for council to consider in determining how much weight to put on the responses?
See, the funny thing is that there actually is like an organized conspiracy, but it's the Together Victoria City Hall crowd. And they know that. And they know that people are starting to wake up to that. So what they're doing is they're engaging in what is known as whataboutism in terms of political rhetoric and political discourse, I think, is the best way to explain this. They know that there's clearly coordination underway to trick people, I would suspect. So what they're doing, knowing that everybody's waking up to what's been happening, they're trying to create a, I know you are, but what am I? They're doing it too aspect, so that even if they do get caught, so what? The other side's doing it as well. That's how you know things are getting bad, when the rhetoric gets to that point where they're saying the other side's doing what we're doing, because they're getting ready for that admission where they can't deny it anymore, I suspect.
I wasn't aware of any other organized interest groups mobilizing to encourage participation in the survey. So that's why that's the only one I've referenced. But in previous years, there's been others. Sometimes the cyclists have organized.
Yep, sometimes the cyclists. But listen to what Eisenhower says. There was another organized attempt, and it was on Ben's side, I suspect. I
have to determine whether or not the views of someone, whether they've been encouraged to participate or not, has value or not. I mean, I know that.
See, Eisenhower's going to have to, you know, have a job after the current council is gone, whether it's at the city, whether it's somewhere else. So unlike some politicians that seem to be lighting their future prospects on fire, he has to be staying within reasonable boundaries of what to say at that table in public discourse. And his response was a professional one, and I want to congratulate him and thank him for it.
Of those who participated in the survey, their 90-odd percent were from the city of Victoria. So how they came to provide their opinions, you know, those are their opinions. So there's that to consider. Secondly, you'll see in the written correspondence as well, there were about 23 or so percent of the correspondence seemed to be generated from a kind of a form letter.
Oh, a form letter. What's this?
About 23 or so percent of the correspondence.
Almost a quarter of it.
Seemed to be generated from a kind of a form letter.
Oh, and what was the form letter? I don't remember a public safety form letter. Do you? What was on the form letter?
At about six different points of view they were pushing. Another one was particularly around VicPD and reducing the funding to VicPD.
There was a form letter that was advocating for the reduction of funding to VicPD.
Around VicPD and reducing the funding to VicPD.
So, I wonder who was behind that.
So again, I think you'll just have to weigh that based on what we see from the results. There's no way for us to know what motivated folks to come to the survey. I will say that we also promoted the survey very heavily and effectively through a number of different groups.
So in other words, there was 23% of respondents.
About 23 or so percent of the correspondents seemed to be generated from a kind of a form letter.
Of the correspondence, and it wanted to defund VicPD.
Particularly around VicPD and reducing the funding to VicPD.
So there actually was an organized effort. There actually was a lobby, and it had to do with defunding VicPD. Councillor Eisenhower, I guess, wasn't aware of that one when he talked about the public safety lobby engaging in some shadowy effort. What's the old political line? I can't remember. Oh, yeah. Accuse your opponent of that which you are guilty preemptively in order to sort of throw off any criticism. Now, I'm sure that somebody like him wouldn't engage in tactics like that. But if that is the case, I'm hard-pressed to otherwise explain how a member of council can just float the idea of some weird conspiracy lobby at the table only to have the professionals say, well, actually, there was a form letter and 23% of correspondence seems to have come from it. It had about six different points and one of them was defunding VicPD. If that doesn't look suspicious, I don't know what does. This is how you are governed, ladies and gentlemen. This is why things don't work. And unfortunately, I think it's only going to change after the election. Although I fully expect that to be discredited, along with everything else that happens to tell the truth in this town, or so it seems some days. Quick break, back after this.